Praise God. Can we stand up on our feet? I want us to pray for one another. That's why I want us to stand up, and I want us to just find somebody, two or three. Can we just get together? I want us to put our lives in the hands of God in this coming year. I want us to ask God to grant us sufficient grace to tackle the different things that will come up in the year. I want us to ask for that person next to me. Say, Father, Lord, I'm praying for grace for him. I'm praying for grace for her. He said, come to the throne of grace, both that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Just say, Lord, I'm praying for grace. I'm asking for your grace. For him, for her, to be able to live solid, adequate life in the coming year. I pray for him. I pray for her to stand strong and be steady in the midst of all the changes around us. I want you to pray for that person, that the Lord will fulfill his plans. The Lord will fulfill, Lord, fulfill your plan concerning her. Remember I said, beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health. Pray that the person will prosper, will do well. Pray that the Lord will make him or her to flourish in every dimension. And ask the Lord to keep him in good health, to keep her in good health. Say, Lord, I'm asking that she be well and he be well. That the Holy Spirit will give life to her mortal body, to his mortal body. And finally, let's pray that this person, this brother, this sister, this uncle, this auntie will glorify God. Will glorify God. Will glorify God. That everything in his life will turn out to the glory of God. Will turn out for the glory of God. Everything, life, home, business, work, everything will glorify God. Finally, ask for more abundant life. Say, Lord, I ask for more abundant life for my sister, for my auntie, for my uncle. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. Can you just tell that person, thank you for praying for me. Appreciate the prayer. Praise the Lord. Can I have our seat? We are going to what I call pillars four. Remember, I said last week that the Lord asked me that we should talk about pillars for years to come. If you look at these pillars, we have about six pillars in this building. But more than that, we have pillars in the wall. Some are double, some are single. You can see them at the edge. Some of them are inscribed inside. And pillars don't move. You can pack the chairs out, you can pack the speakers, microphone. But pillars stay there. And they stay there year in, year out, as long as the building lasts. And so when you build a house, pillars are given adequate attention because they're going to be the lasting thing in the building. And the Lord showed me that there are three pillars we should learn to look at concerning our faith. And I read about three men who are called pillars in the Bible. And they finished the Bible. Let's look at them. Chapter 2, Galatians. Hallelujah. Chapter 2, Galatians. We're going to start dealing with their books. I will also invite you to start reading their books this end of the year. Chapter 2, Galatians. Look at verse 9. 2, verse 9. And when James, Cephas, or Peter, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that had been given to me, they gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we should go to the Gentiles, go to the circumcised. So, these were called pillars in the church. And I was shocked to see that they rounded up the Bible, these three pillars. First one was James. Second one was Peter. The third one was John. The kind of put our faith together, rally it up. If you look at your Bible, after the book of Hebrews, you find James, and then you see next one is Cephas or Peter, and next one is John, who wrote all these small, small books and Revelation and rounded up the New Testament. They were given that privilege. And we want to start exploring their books. So I want you to start reading along. I'm going to start with Peter today. We're going to start reading along. And we're just going to explore the truth that they have for us as pillars. And amazingly, we'll be blessed thinking this. One of the finest ways I study my Bible is this way. I don't follow Bible by verses. Because actually, Bible was not written in chapter and verses. It was 1,000 years later they broke it to verses. So you will never really get a lot of things by just reading one or two verses over there. And you'll be spared a lot of errors. When I got to meet Christ, I love reading. But then I started reading Bible on my own to read not just only one or two verses quoted in the service, but to read chunks and read thoughtful passages and follow through with it. It makes a lot of difference in our lives. A lot of difference. You'll be amazed that some things you had mentioned in the Bible, they are actually within a context. And it can be really beautiful to see that. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter was called the first in the church. Hallelujah. Even some churches called him the Pope. Am I right? So Peter was that man that experienced the extraordinary grace of God. And we're just going to start with him. And some things I want to say that God gave him to give to us. I'm so glad that God did this for us. Let's look at Peter, verse 1, chapter 1, verse 1. 1 Peter 1, verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. I want you to look at the word. Very important. It says, to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. I'd like you to look up a minute. See that word dispersion is the same word for diaspora. Paul wrote us a lot of letters. But Peter writing us did something to dislodge us, to remove us from our known stability. Do you know that I was born abroad? Not abroad, Gonga, but born Ivory Coast. As abroad anyway. So there was this sense of not belonging. I'm not Tukumbo, I'm Tilebo. Because there was no Okun to pass through to go to Ivory Coast. That word, Paul was saying something and describing all of us that we were in different places, that actually we are all in diaspora. You know, sometimes pastors want to convince members not to travel. And then you tell them, don't go anywhere because this is Jerusalem. No, this is not our Jerusalem. Fundamentally, all of us are in diaspora, according to Peter. From this verse, he used two words to describe us, pilgrims of the diaspora. Let's look at this verse in New Living Translation. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's take a look. He said, take a look. This letter is from Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. I'm writing to God's chosen people who are living as foreigners in the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, and Asia, and Bithynia. You know, this sense that we don't belong here. If anybody must pick this sense, it's us who are getting older. Because our time limit is going down. And if we see ourselves just as people who are here and we are bound here, we start having this funny feeling that my life is finishing. But when you start looking at life, not from that point of view of you start seeing that you are actually a foreigner and you are here as in diaspora. Amazing. Let's look at what Bible Message said. Living as foreigners. Let's look at what it says, Message Bible. I, Peter, am an apostle on assignment by Jesus, the Messiah, writing to exiles scattered to the four winds. Not one is missing, not one forgotten. Can we clap our hands for Jesus? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. My father, I was born in Ivory Coast. I'd never seen my father wear English dress. My father always was wearing his native dress, showing that he was a Nigerian and was not an Ivorian. It prevented us from going to French school. He found English primary school that we went to between primary 1 and 5. We would stop there and then come to Nigeria to come and finish primary school over here and go to secondary school or whatever. He did that. And there was one thing we always do for him. Writing letters. He couldn't write very well. So he would write home. See, a mom, you know, are you at your life? Yeah, I don't forget those ones. You know, letter writing was part of us. Why? Because every time somebody comes from over there, we want to collect their letters and read them. And then there have been some bad news, some good news. Sometimes things will happen. Then finally, we traveled home. Oh, I was looking forward to go to Nigeria, that I'm going home. I was born in Ivory Coast. We had the best at and the best city in Africa, in West Africa. When I got to my village, the first time I entered my village, there was darkness. There was no light. I woke up second day, I saw God jumping from this window to another window. I told myself, I don't belong here. And I never really belong here. My children still call me immigrant. They say, I don't know Nigeria. Because I really don't belong here. Praise God. So I struggled in my village. My father's brother, and uncle was a farmer. I didn't like farming. I thought farming was good until I came to Nigeria. I thought farming would just press something, come out, and then get to Nigeria. We have to hold the ground. Difficult. What I'm trying to say is that there's a sense of foreignness we must all carry through life. That we are not just here to stay forever. And when we see we are going to die, you know, all that kind of thing. We should stop thinking like that. That we are not. I want to emphasize this to us this morning as we live here. And that will also break the hold of all the troubles in our world over us. Listen. Whatever Nigeria turns out is not really our permanent possession. We're not going to be here forever. Hello? We must not. That's why I'm very careful. Learning this from Peter. I'm very careful to think of Nigeria of my dream. Christianity does not offer us a temporary route in this life, and we are finished here. In fact, Peter was quoting along with the fathers of the faith that we are pilgrims and we are what? Diaspora. You know the word pilgrims? There is a pilgrim, there is a tourist. Please take a note. Tourism and pilgrimage look alike, but they are different. A tourist goes on expedition for pleasure. But a pilgrim goes on a journey for spirituality. A pilgrim goes to places when he travels to see holy sites that have history of about his faith, about his connection, about his roots. We are not just tourists in this life. Going through pleasures of being born, going to school, getting married, having children, grandchildren, that. Disease and poverty and stuff like that we all go through as human beings. Like Job said, every man born of woman is a few days and full of troubles. But thank God, whosoever is born of God overcomes the world. Hallelujah, somebody here. So what I'm saying this morning is that there's a sense of pilgrimage about each one. How many of you ever read before, Pilgrim's Progress? All of us that are older and know about. See, somebody journey through life. If all our hope is in this life alone, we are the most miserable of all men. Let me talk about this for a few minutes. Let's go to the Bible. Let's go to Hebrews 11. About men of old who thought like this. Who see as in diaspora. They were pilgrims. You know, we talk about Abraham a lot, about Abraham was blessed. But can I surprise you? Abraham never built a house. Serious. He never built a house. He always lived in tents. He's a big man. I mean, he had 380 trained servant born in his own house. So I'm another acquired servant. It was like a city. They call him among the people and say, you are a mighty prince among us. In fact, that word is, you are the word they use for God in the Testament. Elohim. You are Elohim in our midst. But he had a sense that he just journeyed through life. He's a pilgrim. Hebrews 11, let's go down there. Talking about them. They were blessed. They had money. They had power. They had influence. But they had this along with it, unlike the rest of the world. Hallelujah. Take a look at this verse. Verse 13. This all died in faith, not having received the promises, full promises, but having seen them afar off and were assured of them, embraced them and confessed, these are our men of old, that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They were strangers. They were not part of the system. They were strange. They were different. Praise God, somebody. That's why, you see, when you see Christians saying, hey, we have to be like everybody else. We can't be like everybody else. We are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. We can't be like everybody else. We are strangers here. You know, like my wife said, no matter what I do with Al, we can never join certain club in Abeokuta. We cannot belong that far. They will trace our roots. And when they find it out, they will reject us. And this world can trace our roots, not to the family of the planet, but to heaven. Praise God, somebody. That we must be aware of. And that will quicken our step. It won't make us lazy, because we know we are going somewhere. Praise God, somebody. So he said, they were sure that they were pilgrims. So listen to me. That word pilgrims again, I want to revisit it. So when a pilgrim goes through traveling to places, he doesn't see the place as just himself and others. He sees that place as an interaction between God and himself and others. That's a complete triangle. Let me explain that. See, if a pilgrim, your marriage is more than you and your husband. It's a holy site. If you're a pilgrim, your career is more than just between you and yourself and that place you are getting paid. It's a holy site. It's where you and God interact. It's an altar. Every pilgrim, when they travel, they live with a memory. They don't have amnesia. When they get to that sepulchre, they will say, there was Jesus laid. They get to Galilee. That's where Jesus walked and multiplied bread by the Sea of Galilee. They have memory. They are not just at this moment alone. So we as Christians that are in this world today, according to Peter, we must live with the sense that our life is not just brand new in that sense. Our life is a repeat of the holy. Praise God, somebody. And we can, as we go through life, no matter what we pass through, we can say, God said about this. This is a holy site. Remember, Moses was taking his animals and he saw fire burning and not getting consumed. There's something strange about this. I want to plead with you. Your life is just more than making money and making children and then dying after. Your life is actually started in God. My wife read a place in the Bible we need to read. There's so much to say. Let's hang it here. Let's hang it here. Let me show you about your root in God. Let's hang this over here. Let's go to it. Ephesians chapter 1, and my wife read in Message Bible. Let's go down there. Ephesians 1 from verse 3 in Message Bible. I want you just to take a look at this. It will help you. Abraham was blessed because he knew this. How blessed is God? And what a blessing God is to us. He is the father of our master, Jesus Christ, and takes us to the high places of blessing in him. Let's keep reading. Listen to this. Long before he laid down earth's foundation, he had us in mind. Praise God, somebody. We can close service and go home on that one. Some of us were born, not being expected. Hallelujah. Just able to give birth. What you know you? It's your unity. So they call you. What do you call the problem? What was not expected? Huh? Bolu was first. But even after you are conceived like that, they start buying things, waiting for you. They've never seen your face. They start putting things together. They start writing. They start going to the hospital and be checking up. They've not seen your face before. They look through the ultra scan like we can do today, but you are going to see it clear. But no matter how you look, when you arrive, they just start rejoicing. Every baby is beautiful. Long before he laid down earth foundation, he had us in mind, had settled on us as the focus of his love. Praise God. Hallelujah. God is saying to us, before our parents even met, he had focused on us. Somebody said, how can he do that? How can you do that yourself? To have children, Brother Peter, you had two boys, but you were expecting them before you even saw their face. You were planning for them. Am I right? To me, you too. The same thing. So the same way God in his infinite power had seen every face of us. You know, God said to Abraham, he said, look at the stars of the sky. That's what your children will be like. We are Abraham's seed. When Abraham looked up, he saw Brother Yehudia. he saw different. Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him, he saw us. Hallelujah. We are not accidents. We are born Nigerians, but we are more than that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Tell yourself, I'm the focus of his love. He said, and what is his purpose? To be made whole and holy by his love. Next verse. Let's see if you can go for it. Long, long ago, he decided to adopt us into his family. Through who? And what pleasure, not what pain. When you came to Musado, how many of you have been there before when you were very small? No, God took pleasure in planning to adopt us and he welcomed us. Can we clap our hands for the Father God in heaven? Now, knowing that, our mind must now be armed with this truth. Back to Hebrews 11. We read verse 13, right? Okay. Hebrews 11, is it 13 we read? These all died in faith, not having received the full promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Let's look at next verse. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. That's a homeland. This is a foreign land. This is not our final place. I don't care what Tinubu does. I don't care what those guys do. We have a homeland that nobody can take away from us. Can we clap our hands for Jesus? Amen. He said, these people, they were spoke plainly. Abraham was, you know, Abraham was blessed. He had money, he had everything, but he knew that there was a homeland. My father would write letters home. Look at next verse. And he said this again. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out or born in, they would have had chance to return. See, Abraham left his homeland. Isaac, God says to say that. Joseph left to go to Egypt. But that's not their homeland. They were not so much consumed about the life they are living here. They were not carried away. They were doing business. They were making money. They were increasing. But they see their business and all those things as talents to be used to the glory of God. They were putting investment. They see their whole life as investment. Whether working OGTV or OGBC or working at that office over there or that private business, they see themselves as people who are passing through here and making each stage a pilgrimage. Look at next verse. I love this one. Next verse. But now they desire a better, that is a heavenly country. Stop making your hope Nigeria. Nigeria is a recent creation, 1914, amalgamation, Abeko. Stop. Look at the US too. All of them, they think that it's the best country in the world. Listen to this. In the olden days, Christians' father did well by not focusing on this life, and they made better things of this life. But when we began focusing on this life, we are making this life worse. Wait, let's be honest here now. Why should I not be corrupt in Nigeria? Why should I go to an office and steal money? Come on, see their car, denku. See their house, denku. See their belly, denku. Huh? I live well. They look well. I remember about one senior soldier, the son or the daughter got married, and she started with a duplex in Ekoyi and a generator with fuel almost all her lifetime. So why should I go and steal? Why should I go and be corrupt? No, I have a higher call. I have a homeland. I'm not only here. Hallelujah, somebody. I love this. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared what? Oh, there's a city waiting for us. Praise God. The best city in the world. You see, every city in this world only has length and breadth. I'll talk about that later. Every city in this world, it has length, that's how long and how wide. But our city, heaven, Jerusalem, has heights and length and width. Praise God. That city is about 14,000 miles up this way and that way, and made with crystal clear gold. Hallelujah. God has prepared. They're not ashamed. Don't be ashamed that, you know, you have a higher call. You have a higher place. You have a homeland. Say that with me. I have a homeland that is heavenly. With that sense, we must live our life. I want to plead with us. As we get older, you know, I'm 60 plus now, or 61 plus. That's what they said. Somebody said, oh, you are looking younger, but I'm 60 something. I said, young, old, middle old, old, old. I was watching a man yesterday who I've followed all my life in a way. I've learned from him a lot. And I saw him when he was younger, those days in his 40s and 50s. And I saw him in his late 80s now, his face wrinkled. And I could see that, but I told myself, that is the outward man. The man is getting sweeter than ever before. He's getting better than ever before. Though his speed has slowed down, but his heart has gotten stronger. Praise God, somebody. So I want to plead with us that we are foreigners here. We're in diaspora, actually. All of us are in diaspora. Hello? 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 Let's go to Second Peter, or First Peter, and closer. Praise God. So we say, we are strangers and pilgrims. 1 Peter 1:1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Look at next verse. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. These are, you know, you wonder how a poor fisherman could be talking like this. Christianity elevates our consciousness. Hi. Are you hearing me? This was a poor fisherman writing like this. Grew up, I guess, in his late 20s or early 30s following Jesus. Was crude and rude. Am I right? And toward the end of his life, see the kind of words he was making. There's something about getting older that your words become more refined and more cultured as you get toward heaven. It's ungodly for a person who is older talking like babies. They must handle the complexity of life. They must come to us to unravel life's mystery. Praise God, somebody. And Peter started like this, said, you are elected. Elected by God. Huh? Don't worry about election here. You are elected by God, by his foreknowledge. He had planned for you. Your coming to this world, your living this life is not by accident. Your mom and your dad may give birth to a child called illegitimate. No, you are not illegitimate. They were illegitimate. Are you hearing me? They were illegitimate. You are legitimate. You are born the same way everybody is born. You came through a woman. Praise God. So I want us to see these verses. Let's look at it to make it clearer for us in NLT and then round up and go home today. Let's go. God the Father knew you and chose you. Say the same thing again. And chose you long ago. Your marriage is not your life definition. Whether you are happy in marriage or not happy in marriage, whether you are happy with your job or not happy with your job, whether you are making more money or you are making less money, that's not the definition of your life. We need those things for life comfortability here. Of course, if you travel to Israel by first class or second class, you're all going to the same holy site. Am I right? Of course, it's better to travel in first class. It's better. God the Father knew you and chose you long ago, and his spirit has made you holy. See, that word holy has been misinterpreted as mascara. It's always about women. Am I right? Don't do long. But the word holy is the word in Yoruba, mafo wokon, separated, different. You are on your own as far as uniqueness. So he said, and the spirit has made us to be separated, to be different. Now that difference, you must carry it. You can't just carry on like everybody is doing. No, yeah, I know we need to talk about that, but behind all that, must be aware that, oh boy, I've been chosen to be here. There's nothing as beautiful as seeing a Christian talking about life, destiny like this. I know I'm working here, it's not the best, but I believe God wants me here. There's nothing like that in the world. Oh, my marriage, you may not have all the money in the world, but I'm committed to be helper to this man here. Yeah, others can have better car and stuff like that, but I look at you, I see more than the cars. Praise God, somebody. Am I making some sense here? One of my friends years ago, we were walking on the road and he was having some struggle in his marriage with his wife, and things were really tough. And I looked at him and I said to him, I said, sir, my friend, you know what? Nobody else could have married your wife and be this to her like you. Why was Moses born when they were killing all the bears in the land of Egypt? As a result, you have obeyed him and have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Let me close like this. If you see all this, what are they sell, drinks, they will put TM around it, trademark. When you look at somebody who claims that he's a pilgrim, he's a child of God, following God, that's a trademark you notice about them. Two things. Obedience and cleansing by the blood of Jesus. Let me explain that. When you notice somebody who is a child of God, who is really working with God, please help us handle these children. Who is the owner of these kids? Oh, they are chosen long ago before the earth was founded. Please, thank you. They just enjoy themselves. They own the church actually because you all lead them. Where did I stop now before I started the noise? Huh? Trademark. When you see a Christian child of God, what do you know about, what is about them? There's two things you know about them. Number one, they want to obey. They want to obey God. We may have our struggles, but we want to obey God. We are obedient children. Sometimes conditions make creatures bend. You know why women today are fighting submission? Because there are tyranny of men. You want to obey. I always tell women, I said, won't you submit to a man who will love you all his life? Of course. Carry me, go. Am I right? Obey and cleansing. What is cleansing? A Christian is not just living life like everybody else. There's a cleansing by the blood of Jesus. You know that you have been washed in the blood. Hallelujah, somebody. You know that Christ has paid for your sin. Hallelujah. Not because you are just forgiven. The word preaches forgiveness, too. But we preach it different. That's the blood of Jesus there. That's a total forgiveness when it comes to us. That's not a barrier of sin. That's the removal of sin by the blood of Jesus. Amen. 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 As I stop right now, what should characterize your life is this. I want to obey God. You know why I give? I want to obey God. One time, my children said to me, Daddy, you're a very loving father. I said, not really. I'm just obeying God. He said, love your wife, so raise up your children. I'm doing that. That is like a sort of Damocles hanging on my head. I must obey. Because the first one obeyed even unto death. Hallelujah. So obedience to God's truth must be part of our life. No matter what you are going through, what's happening in your life, always ask yourself, how do I obey God in this situation? And second, when you mess up, the blood is always available. A Christian should not be rehearsing sin and sin and sin and sin and sin and sin. The sin of fathers, the sin of mothers, the sin of parents, the sin of loved ones, the sin of husbands, the sin of wives, the sin of children. We must not be rehearsing their sin because Jesus had paid before they even committed it. So we must learn to bring the blood of Jesus to a closure of people's mistakes and misbehaviors in our lives. That's not easy. My wife was 30 years old. That day, so much offended her when she was 30. I did evil to her that day. My wife said, "When I'm 30, do this to me." It's like as if it was irredeemable. So when she was 40, I threw a party along with her. But that's not what cleansed the sin. It was the blood of Jesus that cleansed the sin. If you have been forgiven, freely forgive others. Hallelujah. Can we just lift up our hands and thank God that we are pilgrims, we are children, we are chosen, we are elected, that we are not just wasting our life here, we are on only journey of our life. Can we lift our hands and thank Him? Bless the Lord for 1 minute. Oh, hallelujah. The song says, "We are heirs of the Father. We are joint heirs with the Son. With the Son, we are children of the kingdom. Of the kingdom. We are family. That we are one." One more time.
"We are heirs of the Father.
We are joint heirs.
We are joint heirs
with the Son.
With the Son.
We are children.
We are children of the kingdom. We are family. We are one."
Some churches, they do it almost every now and then, what they call confession of faith. Like Nicene Creed, they say this creed. And so let's just, in our own way, let's say, "I believe in God the Father, who has chosen me as His own. I believe in God the Son, who came, died, and ransomed my life. I believe in the Holy Spirit, who lives in my heart and makes me an overcomer. I believe that redemption is clean and clear. I believe there is a future as a homeland and there's a glory ahead of me. I believe I'm not just ordinary flesh and blood. I've been chosen, accepted in the beloved. And I'm going to live that way. And I know that this life is just temporary, but I am not temporary. I'm an eternal child of God, living eternally with Jesus in my Father's kingdom. I determine to live by this and share it with others in Jesus' name." Can we clap our hands for Jesus? Amen, amen. Choir, can we sing? And let's give our offering. These are some pillars that we're going to be looking at in the coming Sundays about our life. Praise God. And we're going to be strong doing that in Jesus' name. So when Tinubu comes with his Tinubunomics, am I right? We got Heavenomics. Praise God. Hallelujah. Okay. Oh, who put this one up here? I think this is a nice one. Hallelujah. Oh, that's what you are singing. Interesting. All right. I was wondering, how did this straight to the screen? All right, let's give our offering as we... Our dear Father, in the name of Jesus, we bring our offering and our tithes before you this morning. We ask that your precious hand will rest upon our offering. Turn them to seed and make a harvest of them, because you are mighty and able to do so. And we give you all the glory for our tithe and offering as we receive the blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give our offering.